Welcome to TLDR with Tony and Luke. I'm Luke.
And I'm Tony.
Join us as we talk about nothing because we didn't play anything.
Well, very little. Comparatively little.
I played a lot. It was just a lot of satisfactory.
Yeah, you just played a lot of one thing that you've already covered for like the last, 3 years we've been covering satisfactory?
2 years. I only started playing it last year.
Okay, 2 years.
I'm always finished. I got to the turbo fuel phase. That powers the last phase of manufacturing, and then I'll be done. I'm very happy with my factory. I'm this design that I've got this time around is much better. There's room for improvement.
Yeah. So you can play it another time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. But I feel the itch again fading, kind of thing. I think with COVID, and just being tired all the time, work got really out of hand, and it still is. And Satisfactory is a game that just lets me not think about anything else.
Just download.
And I just do not think about work and all this other garbage that's going on there, you know. So I feel like it was like an itch to play coupled with that just creates a real, I'll admit it, like full like addiction. The button just like it's, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of like dovetails into, my brain is still not ticking as fast as
my
it
head
be.
Thing is not brain, clock go noise good, making.
Think well. Starfield. It dovetails into Starfield because last episode, we talked about cargo links and building outposts.
Yes.
And I went back to start doing it. Went, oh, wow, this is really, I now need to like get these pieces and I don't have the pieces and I don't have this. And I kind of went, I'll do this tomorrow, loaded up Satisfactory and that was it. I went, if I want to like automate and build stuff, that is such an amazingly satisfying experience. Starfield is just like
pain in the ass.
I think I understand how to do it and how to use the terminals to link up everything, and you just need to like feed it for Interstellar. You just got to like feed it some H3 and then it just magics the rest of it.
But it's not actually fun, is it?
It doesn't. I don't know. Well, I don't know why I'm doing it. Really, I'm like to do my research,
it's there.
And it's like because like if it. Like, okay, say if I had an outpost and got resources to then I could then manufacture lots of guns to get like the right combination. Like I could just build a machine that would RNG out guns until I got the right combination.
Got the right combo, yes.
That might be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, or something like that. Like something that sort of ties the outpost through
into the rest of the game.
But I don't know what that... There's a link there. I'm not sure what that is.
Well, because research requires so many resources. I think maybe that's what the outpost is supposed to be for.
Maybe that's true. Then
but
if that's
I've
the case,
ended up just spending all my money in the shops to buy the resources I need to do the research.
Which you probably should be going and mining it and making your own pieces so it's cheaper. But to that I say...
Cheaper financing from the game, but much more expensive in personal time.
Yes.
In playing
the game, setting it all up and troubleshooting it. And
which is probably actually far more valuable to me than the in-game resource, which is digital nothing.
Nothingness. Yep. And I think my problem with it as well is that it does, like if it's just having outposts for research, the amount of points from your build you need to spend on just doing that.
Yeah.
And then what benefit do you get out of the research? You can
almost
make food,
none.
Which I'm not going to use.
Yeah.
You can feed this back into building better outposts as a means to an end for like people who just want to
build outposts.
I just want to build an outpost and do that kind of stuff. There is that aspect to it. Better mods and things for your guns and weapons and spacesuits and all that kind of stuff. But is there spaceship stuff in there too?
No spaceship stuff
in there. To which, well, I get that the mods are good.
The mods are awesome. The high level mods are astounding. So the first level mods are an absolute waste of time.
Yeah, right.
Second level mods are meh.
Yeah.
Third level mods are, I can see the mods are good. And the top tier mods are amazing.
Yeah, right.
They really stand out. They're so noticeable.
Maybe I wonder then, because my point was going to be that I just get a calibrated gun and it just kicks ass anyway, right?
Yeah.
Is it that if I get a really high quality mod, I can take any crap gun and bring it up to a top tier?
No, it still stays crap. But the mods make an amazing gun even more amazing. But mind you, that's only because the mods are so hard to get because they're so resource intensive that I've only ever put them in amazing guns already.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So it kind of, so that's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
Because suddenly I'm using a more amazing gun, I'm going to think it's amazing anyway, and then I put a new mod in it, and I'm attributing the amazingness of the mod rather than probably it's actually the build of the gun that's amazing.
Yep, yep. And it's not that the game is tedious. I don't...
No, not by any... when you're playing it,
yep.
It very rarely feels tedious.
I don't feel...
But when you finish a session and you've played for 5 hours and you go, what have I done? I've crossed off one quest.
That's it, you know?
I've filled up my inventory nine times and sold it at the shop. What? Am I playing an inventory hauling game? What game am I playing?
Yeah. At least when I down tools from Satisfactory, I go, I can see the progress I made.
I've
put down 20 refiners and hooked them up and a whole bunch of things. And like there's and this objective that I've got, you know, for the whole overall thing is moving closer to completion. And with the outposts, if it's just to do research,
I don't even know that that's what it's for.
Well, I don't know what it's for. Why am I doing this?
I've done a ton of research and have not built a single outpost.
And
the game gets in its own way.
It's really, and building outposts is not, it's not easy and straightforward either.
No, after last episode, I asked you to show me how to build the outposts, and you said, let me do it a bit more so I can understand it a bit better.
Yeah, and I went, oh, this is too tedious.
Yeah.
And so, I switched off, so. Yeah. So, I'm not done with the game.
Oh, not by any stretch of the imagination.
But, like...
The RPG elements are fun.
Doing the
quests and following the story is fun.
The Ryujin questline, I quite enjoyed. I played right through that. And maybe that's what I haven't found another questline. I feel like the main questline... I've hit a point now where I need to get better guns and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what quests I want to do next to go and find it. Maybe that's why. And I kind of got stuck. I went, oh, let me do this outpost thing and try that out. And I kind of got myself mired in outposts. I need to just forget about it, move on with my life, and just pick a quest and go do some quests.
And so I read a stat online. There's an achievement. It's an Xbox achievement. I don't know if other achievements. The achievement is simply land on 100 different planets. That's all it is. And 3% of the player population has met that achievement.
Oh, wow.
So people are just not engaging with the exploration factor of the game.
Yeah.
Because it's boring.
Yeah, there's not a lot going on. 100 planets. I wonder how many I've been to.
One of the things, this is exactly what I thought when I was reading this article, a lot of the comments said the same thing, is they've reused too many of the random things. Like you find too many of the abandoned starports and you find too many of the abandoned research base, and it's identical. It is literally identical.
Right.
It's not even just the same layout with different stuff in it. It is identical to the last one you found on another planet.
That's
and so
good.
That disengages you with the exploration immediately. Once you eat three things that were the same, I can't be bothered with this. So I'm just going to follow the quest line.
What are you going to get out of it? Like, what benefit?
Well, you get to play the inventory hauling game.
Well, I mean,
because there's so many bad guys and they drop so much loot, and there's so much loot in the crates already there.
Yeah,
and you've got to check in case it does have one of those magazines that's actually worth getting.
Yeah,
you got to search through everything. There's 4 hours of your day gone.
Yeah,
just clearing out the one base that you found on a random planet.
The NASA base took me a while. Whoa, geez, that quest was running on right through all of that. That took forever.
Okay, I haven't got to that yet.
Oh, okay. One of the main story quests.
Oh, the bits then. With the spaces and eclipse. The starport. The fallen starport.
No. It's like on Earth. You go back to Earth.
Oh, you go back to Earth. It's literally NASA.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, literally. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Didn't mean to drop.
It's the eye in the sky one, which I haven't done yet, which you said is the one you should do first, which is ironic. Because I read online.
Yeah.
Other people said, this is the one you should do first. Why doesn't the game tell you to do this one first?
I don't know. I don't know either. It's insane because it's so important to the game. Yeah, so you definitely need to go do that quest.
Absolutely dropped the ball.
Yeah.
You ask Sarah, what do you recommend I do? And she says, well, I can't tell you what to do, but I would go and rescue Barrett first. So there's literally dialogue in the game.
Yeah.
That they could have said, go to the eye in the sky first, but they don't. They're going, go and rescue Barrett, which is the most boring quest of all. And Barrett is not an entertaining character.
Oh, you don't like Barrett? No.
No.
I thought he might go either way for people.
I thought he might be funny, but he ends up being annoying.
Yeah, okay. I haven't really had him as a companion to
It's good that he doesn't harp on about being gay. I do like that.
He just is.
He just is gay, yeah.
Yeah,
so
just
I think
nice.
They've done that quite well, that he is gay.
He just but like Barrett being annoying, I feel, is true to the character. Because I feel Barrett is
actually
an annoying character
dude.
To some people. Yeah. I feel like he's one of those kind of characters that go either way. So I feel like, again, he's very true.
Yes.
The character representation
is
always
doesn't
really
drop
good.
His character at any point, which is good.
And the religious kid isn't like overly... in your face about it either. It's just they happen to be religious and like, you know, whatever it is, you don't, and they, that's the angle and the bent that thinking takes, but it's not like necessarily
ramming it down your throat.
I didn't really realize that that's what the headpiece was until I went and did.
I thought he was in a spacesuit in a,
I thought he might have been Indian. I thought it might be like an Indian turban, like a space Indian turban. But I guess we're so far away from Earth and it's those things don't really, don't seem to exist necessarily, kind of thing. But that's sort of what I thought it was when I first saw him. I was like, oh, okay.
But it's actually his religious get up.
Well, yeah, because I went and said he's priest, they're not called priests, whatever they are.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you're wearing this. Oh, that's the thing. I know what's going on. That makes sense. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. But yeah, so I think, right. I'm going to finish Satisfactory because let's be honest. And then definitely I'm going to pick up another quest because I want to move Starfield out of the way so that I can play Cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk, yes.
Because I'm looking forward to getting back to that with all the changes and goes. I figured it might be good just to let them have a bit more time to get a couple more patches out the door.
Okay, yeah.
It's not going to hurt the situation.
No.
I haven't heard anything bad about it.
No, I haven't
it.
Heard anything
yeah.
about it.
Well, I haven't... See, that's actually a really good point. I have not been on Reddit since July.
Oh, wow.
So, okay. like, when they had Reddit had a big blackout because they were charging people for their APIs and all the free, the app that I used didn't work anymore.
Okay.
And so, when the blackout happened, I was like, well, the app's not going to work.
Yeah, I'm just not going to read it.
Take it off my phone and just see how I go.
Yeah.
And so, I kind of feel a little bit out of the loop now and like the zeitgeist of what's going on because I'm not seeing any of
the... Passed you by.
Yeah, kind of thing, which is interesting as well. Yeah, I do feel... less informed, but have more time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, instead, or maybe I'm just doing other things rather than just endlessly scrolling through Reddit instead, kind of thing. Yeah, but yes, I'm not sure. I haven't heard anything, but then again, my not hearing anything doesn't mean as much as it used to.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm keen to get back to that as well.
Yes,
for sure.
Yes.
Have you played anything in the last fortnight?
Just Lamplighters League.
Oh yeah,
I've been playing, and I found the floors.
Ah, finally, yes.
So, so they've patched it again.
Okay.
And the game still crashes like a teenager.
You know what's so funny?
On Valium. I don't know. It crashes so much. It's not funny.
That's pretty great. That's not great. But I, after saying that like Satisfactory is running perfectly and I'm on the experimental brand on the podcast when we recorded, that night
it crashed
the desktop. Yeah. And now I've encountered a new bug where sometimes when I open up a truck station, I get a crash to desktop, so now I have to just save before I go and open them. It's definitely something to do with the truck stations.
Well, and that's the problem with Lamplighters League.
Yeah.
Is it's all over the place.
Yeah, if it's something that you know, you can kind of at least mitigate it a little bit, but if it's just randomly...
So there's one character that if she does her full move, she turns invisible, and she's got a power that when she gets a buff, she gets another action. Nine times out of 10, that works fine. But every now and then, she'll turn invisible, and the game will try and give her another turn, and it'll crash the desktop.
Oh, wow.
So that's one.
Yeah.
But that's not 100%. It's like 9 times out of 10, it works fine.
Yeah.
Then there's another character that can grant turns to other characters, and 19 times out of 20, that works fine. And the 20th time, it crashes the desktop. So it's... And sometimes it'll load the game in.
Yeah.
Like, you'll load the mission in.
Yeah.
And then it'll crash the desktop as soon as it's loaded the mission in. And other times it loads the mission in and there's nothing. It's just black.
They're all good.
You can hear them talking.
Yeah.
And you can get the tooltips as you move the cursor around. Yeah. You can get the tooltips, but it's just black. The screen's just black.
Not good.
So the foreground is visible, which is where the tooltips and stuff go and the health bars and stuff on the foreground. Yeah. But the background where the character and the map is just black.
No.
Yeah.
Denied.
So, yeah, it's still very buggy. But I have found the problem. Well, I think I found the problem. So it's gotten significantly harder.
Yep.
So there's 10 characters that you can recruit. You got to do special missions to find where the characters are hiding. Yep. I've only been able to recruit 6 of the 10 characters.
Yep.
So that's one black mark in the box for me that they've... I'm 3/4 of the way through the game now. I'm in the late game and I've only got 6 of the 10 characters.
Mm.
So reading online, they seem to imply that this is what the programs want you to force you to play it a second time. to choose the other characters to go and rescue earlier on in the game.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm not sure that I agree with that. That's not great. But anyway, when you do rescue the characters, they effectively start at level one, even though you're playing level 10 missions. So,
why?
And the missions have gotten harder. The enemies are much harder than they were at the start.
Yeah.
And so my regular team all got wounded and stressed and so needed downtime.
Yeah.
So I fielded the new guys. So two new guys with one veteran.
Yeah.
That's fine. Doing the mission, it's kind of tough. I'm facing a new enemy. There's doomsday clocks and there's checkpoints on the doomsday clocks. And as the enemies get to their checkpoints, they get new enemies to throw at you. So there's a ancient Egypt fire-based enemy. There's a sea monster poison-based enemy. And then there's a mysterious void electricity energy. And they're the three different houses that you're fighting.
Oh, yeah.
And as the clock goes around, they lean further into their power.
No.
So this mission I'm currently doing, I'm fighting the fire mummy guys for the first real time. And they're much tougher than the previous versions of them. I've got one veteran and two rookies. So I struggled. I've got 3/4 through the mission. And I've only got one thing left to do before I complete the mission. And this has taken this. I've spent quite a few hours because I'm persistent. I don't give up. I spent quite a few hours getting to that point.
Yeah.
Having to reload, having the game crash when I've succeeded. And rah, rah. But anyway, I've got to this point. So I've got to break into their stronghold. They've got a guard right at the front. Who's looking at the front gate? So I can't sneak in the front gate without taking out that guard. I've used most of my stealth mechanic stuff already to get to this point. So I can stealth kill the guard. That works fine. And then a group of enemies comes out to look for me.
Yep.
So I go, okay, that's good. I've drawn some enemies out.
Yeah.
I'll take on the enemies. Yep. No. All 18. I've got three characters, right? With two actions each. That's a total of six actions for my team.
Yeah.
All 18 of the enemies activate. Even though I've drawn dudes out of the area,
yeah,
they're significantly far away from their buddies, but they still activate all 18.
Wow.
So that got into a reload. So then my latest effort, I was doing really well. I logged a stick of dynamite in. I actually blew up 5 of them with my stick of dynamite, killed 5 of them straight off the bat.
18, so you still got 13 left.
I still got 13 left.
Plus the guy you shot at the start, so it's 14.
Yep. And then, so the guys at the back of the encampment run forward, and they happen to be dudes that summon swarmers of locusts.
Oh, jeez.
And the swarmers of locusts take an entire action to kill. They instantly die, but they take an entire action to kill.
Yeah.
And if you don't kill them, they jump on you. And at the end of your turn, they take 20 health off you and give 20 health back to the mummy that summoned them.
Oh.
Each time the mummy summoned them, they summon 4 of the swarms. It's got a 3-turn cooldown. There's 3 mummies. None of the characters that I've taken, remember I've got one veteran and 2 rookies. None of the characters I've got have got an area of effect. Kill.
That's what you need. That's anyway. Yeah. Because
so
that's,
I'm just swamped by these scarabs.
That's I so
can't
many.
Do anything.
3 mummies, 4 each.
Yeah.
12 plus you've got the other already outnumbered already. Yeah. That's a
and
tough
so
fight.
In my opinion, this is badly written. The whole encampment should not activate. If I can draw 4 of them out, those 4 should be far enough away from the rest of the encampment. Yeah. The rest of the encampment doesn't activate.
Yep.
And I also didn't mention that the encampment has 2 reinforcement portals in it.
Oh, God.
So that's 4 more on turn 4 and 3 more on turn 8 come back in. So my last effort, I was fighting for over an hour and a half and I just ended up giving up because it was too late. I was clearly not going to win. So I just trashed that attempt. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to try it one more time because a stick of dynamite worked quite well. It took out so many of them.
How many sticks of dynamite do you have?
I've only got 1.
Far out.
Yeah.
That'd be good on the mummies because that's a bit of area effect.
Except the mummies aren't at the front.
No, so you can't.
The mummies are all up the back and I can't sneak in.
Yeah.
This is very badly set up. For a game that's got sneaking in it, you cannot sneak into the base. So what I was trying to do was sneak into the base, steal the resources I need to steal and then escape.
Yeah.
And not fight them at all.
Yeah.
But they've got patrols. I think there's 8 guys that basically just sit by the front entrance. I looked around the whole side to try and find if there's a way in through the fence. No, you can only get in through the front entrance. And there's 8 guys that just patrol the front.
Yeah, there are wire cutters.
You just can't take them out. So
yeah, right.
That is a very badly designed mission.
But and it comes badly on the back of like losing your main force as well. So
yes.
You're doing on a bunch of. I'm not a huge. I know quite a few games have this mechanic, but I'm not a huge fan of it. I don't know.
Well, it would be all right. This isn't the other thing that I haven't mentioned is this isn't even a critical mission. This is just a random waste time mission, so it shouldn't be hard.
I wonder if that's. During the matter you just procedurally generated, and it's procedurally generated a way too difficult mission.
Yeah, that it is a procedurally generated mission, and it has generated a procedurally generated a way too difficult mission. So I'm probably going to have to go back. To the start of the week and just completely abandon that mission and choose a different mission instead.
Yeah.
But also, as the doomsday clocks tick down, if the doomsday clock gets to midnight, you lose.
Right.
And I'm finding that the doomsday clocks are going so fast that I basically just have to, I've got no choice but to do the doomsday clock dropping missions, which means I can never progress my forward progress in my quest.
Exactly the same problem with Chaos Bane that you had, where the portals were opening faster. Like, you have to constantly keep doing those, and there's no time to do anything else. It's almost the exact opposite problem of RPGs, where they create artificial time pressure, but never really
really.
This has got artificial time pressure, and they pump you on it hard. And
it's not artificial time pressure. It's literal time pressure. That means you can't progress what you're trying to actually do.
Artificial in the fact that they can dial that back to how fast it has kind of thing.
But they haven't. No. They've ramped it up. So the reason that they've done it is because if I took my units now to face the starting enemies, I just wipe the floor with them.
Yeah.
I kill them before they even get a turn.
Yeah.
So the doomsday clocks are so that the enemies you're fighting keep up with your soldiers.
Yeah.
But of course, the fact that when you recruit a new soldier, they start back at level one and you don't have easy missions to take them on to level them up anymore.
Yeah.
So it's all right. You can level up. You can spend your skill points on guys that didn't attend the mission.
Yeah.
But you don't get enough skill points to continue to keep investing in your main characters because their skills cost so much. So you tend to ignore the new ones until you've the late game, which I'm up to, isn't great. So right up until the late game, I couldn't fault the game. I was in love with it. But I've had three bad missions in a row, and with my main squad I could handle the difficult stuff. I did a couple of critical missions with them.
Yeah.
But they got pounded. They got stressed. So they get stress cards applied to the characters, which not only reduces their bonus cards, it stops their bonus card working.
Yeah.
And applies a penalty to them.
Yeah.
So then I had to rest them. I couldn't keep fielding them. They needed to rest. Yeah. So I like it, but I found
it's max of lack of polish. The crashes you're talking about, right? And 100%. That means that they're not spending time bug fixing, which means they're not probably spending time polishing that balance. Yeah. And you balance the first part of the game, because probably the easiest part to balance. Yes. And that end part,
which they balanced well. Felt powerful, but you also felt like everything, it was a risk. You needed to get the stealth bits right.
Yep.
And so when you start the mission, you've got enough stealth kills to kill probably 12 enemies.
Yeah.
And they gave you 20 enemies at the start. So if you got all your stealth stuff perfect, you only have to fight 8.
Yeah.
Now they give me 50 enemies and I'm still only able to stealth kill 12.
Yeah, it hasn't scaled.
Yeah, and some of the enemies are not able to be stealth killed.
It's like the strategy game version of bullet sponging.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. A bit disappointing.
It is. It is. But I still recommend the game. I haven't finished it, but just be aware that the late game is challenging. I've only played about 8 hours since you last did the other missions podcast.
And then report back and see. It's just that was an anomaly, or is that representative of what
the end game's going to be?
It's always a challenge with procedurally generated stuff. You know, you never know what the algorithm's going to spit out. Yeah,
because it doesn't care if it completely just screws you over. It doesn't care. It just doesn't.
Yep. Yep. That's it. And that's why I like, because I played a few factory animation games where they have the RNG for the maps and stuff like that. And, you know, all the bits that you need are there, but they're kind of in a random spot. But the maps always feel not logical because they're just...
Yeah.
There's nothing...
There's lava right next to the ice world.
Yeah, kind of stuff, you know. But with Satisfactory, as I said, I started my new one I normally do a lot of my previous stuff in the south east part of the island. This time I'm doing it more in the northwest, so I haven't really been up there. And there's so many awesome exploration sort of intriguey bits, because I'm on the Dune Sea, right? It's all desert, but it's surrounded by the cliffs on one side. And when you're starting up into the cliffs, there's all these like little paths and jumping rocks. And when you get up to the top, you're like, oh, there's a slug, or there's a hard drive, or there's something to find. Or is that a path to a cave? And you go into a cave, it's a creepy cave, and you get through and you blast your way through and you've cut through like a shortcut to another biome and stuff. Okay. And so when you're out exploring it, it's constantly drawing you. Yeah. Oh, is that a slug up there? Oh, and you go up there and is that one? And you're down there and you just the whole world feels like and someone has sat down, looked at it and like crafted the whole thing perfectly. Yeah. And it's been very nice to kind of get to experience that on a different part of the
world.
Map and do that again kind of thing. Yeah. 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 And I went and found some oil and I'm like, oh, hang on. I think I've just gone right around, and then that's the chasm that joins my base. Hmm, interesting. All right, that's a shortcut through to here. That's good. All right, no problems. Yeah, yeah. That's makes a big difference. Yeah, procedure generate stuff, and that's sort of. I mean, it's so much of what we played recently. Well, maybe not so much, but like a lot of games now are obviously taking more advantage of it. They're going to take more advantage of it with the way the tools are at the moment. But like, so Starfield.
Yeah.
You know. Mixed results. And I'd say it's the exact same problem as No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
There are some truly unique worlds and some unique things.
But there's so much dross to find.
A lot of it is just... And there's not... Yeah, like every single space station, spaceport thing is identical wherever you go.
Yeah.
The in-space ones are, but the ones on the... Like, in terms of like Starfield, right? They have like these home outposts or abandoned outposts or trading posts. They're all identical. It doesn't matter where you go. They're all the same kind of thing, you know, and it's like, well, where's the point in having...
Yeah, I don't want 100 planets with 99 recycled things on them. But give me 10 planets with 10 unique stories on them.
Yeah.
Much better.
Much better, you know, yeah. Yeah, I think you can like... I think there'd be, to my mind, what you're saying, right, you could have... So like Mass Effect, right, has... I had like 15 or 20 star systems you could go to, right? Yeah. You can land on a few of them, right? But like that, and you could procedure generate a lot of the extra stuff, but there would be enough content across 20 star systems with all their moons and stuff that are procedure generated rather than big, but not so big, and not an unmanageable amount for a team to handle, maybe, rather than 1,000 worlds where,
999 of them are pointless.
Yeah, like maybe it's like 80% is procedure generated, maybe like 40% is better. Yeah. Then I wonder what that ratio is to make it.
Yeah,
make it better.
Yeah,
maybe it'll get better. Like large language models and AI stuff is getting better and better. Maybe they'll eventually. Maybe Bethesda can feed enough.
Yeah,
stuff into it. So that you can start like making more interesting and not just boring. Maybe you make 100 bases and you feed it in, and all of a sudden they can start to like construct good variations on that better. Dragon Age 2 had that kind of stuff where they didn't procedure generated it, but they used the exact same map three different ways. Yeah, and made you run through the exact same map again and again and again. It's like, that's probably one of the cases where you're like, I would prefer at least it was a little bit varying.
Kind of thing. No, it's literally the same map.
Hang on, this looks familiar, but there's boulders there this time. convenient.
Yeah.
What had no procedurally generated content in it was Trek to Yomi.
Okay.
And a game that I have officially, I'm going to call it abandoned.
You've been putting it off until you finished it.
Yeah. I never expected to finish it.
Okay. Put it off until you played a bit more.
Yeah, until like I got to the point where it was too hard for me to keep playing, which it kind of did. Now has. Yeah, like I was getting to the point where I was like fighting the same thing again and again, and I'm like, oh, I'm not progressing, and I know I need to like spend more time. I've only spent like 5 hours with it, so it's not a great amount of time, and I got through three acts of the story.
That's pretty good in only five hours.
Yeah, three acts of maybe like seven, kind of thing.
Okay.
It's if a sort of side scrolly fighting game where you need to like learn moves and chain combos together kind of thing is up your alley. This is a great example of that type of game. I really enjoyed it, and it's got a couple of unique properties which I found were very just kept it a little bit interesting kind of thing. One is it's they're telling it to just. I'm sure it's like a very standard traditional Japanese samurai tale
okay
kind of thing, Yeah, I don't want to spoil the story if you want to go into it, but I feel like it's something that's been told before, kind of new to me.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily pick all the beats that were coming, but they were fairly obvious because I feel like it's a folktale kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's all black and white, which is interesting. So like I don't play too many games that are just all remove color from the palette completely. And so in that respect as well, it feels like an old Japanese samurai movie, you know, from the black and white kind of era. It's all voiced in Japanese. Again, no subtitles, no English track again. Also very unique. The most unique thing, though, is the camera work in it. So it's fixed camera. And some areas, when you're not fighting, are kind of like a, you know, you can run around the area and look at things and move up, down, left, right in the plane of like a fixed sort of three-quarter angle.
Yeah.
And you can find little secrets and find ammo and upgrades and all that kind of stuff. When it gets to fighting, you lock in to a standard 2D view. Yeah. So there's no messing about with the third plane. Yeah, when you're fighting, it just brings you in and you just fight. But then it takes camera angles to a whole new level. You don't get necessarily always a really easy view of your character. One of the early ones that stuck out for me was you're going down. So the raiders are in the village killing everyone. And you're running down through the main street, right? And you got to fight some people. So it locks into that 2D view. But the camera is situated in the second story building, a second story of a building overlooking the street.
Yeah.
And so your vision is letterboxed by a window as if someone is looking at you kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it uses all these spectacular angles, like very cinematic. Again, harkening back to that cinematic route, that's how you would show the main character running down, looking as if someone's looking out the window as they go and they clash, you know, or you walk straight into the, like, characters walking into the barrel of the camera and then turns left or right. So the camera positions, and the camera does kind of follow you and move a little bit. It's not always fixed. It's a little bit God of War-ish in that respect. But you always get these fantastic cinematic views of the destruction of what's going on or the countryside or whatnot. And you can sort of get a little view of the enemies up ahead that are going to come and fight you and stuff kind of thing, you know, like they do a little bit of like guys will just jump in to kind of make it more difficult. It's not always telegraph thing.
Yeah.
But I've not played a game with that visual and sound palette before. I've not seen anything like that with that camera work, the way the gameplay locks into that. You get this cool exploration stuff with this very, I think, I'm no fighting game expert, but I feel like it's a very robust fighting system. I didn't find necessarily any combo that I could just say,
spam that.
That's what will work. You know, no, if it's a heavy enemy, you're going to need to use a different set. And if you're going to fight a bunch of light guys, it's one set. The guys on the horses
Another
are different
set.
Again. Yeah. You know, you get a bunch of like special weapons, which really do help. You know, if you're having trouble fighting with a sword, you can always pull out the rifle and you get two shots with the rifle. You know, it can get you through one enemy that may be causing you problems kind of thing. But then they started adding in what I think. So you fight a lot of standard enemies through the first two acts. The third act takes a spiritual bent on it. Yep. So you start seeing some more like enemies that summon other ones. You got to kill two enemies, close the gap and take them out before they summon the next two and become invincible again.
Yeah.
One guy who leaves shadows of himself and teleports behind you.
Yeah.
So the difficulty ramped up.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't play for a while and my skill levels went.
Dropped down. Yeah.
And so getting back into it again, I'm like, I've forgotten everything about this one. So I'm like, I think I'm done with this.
Yeah.
Did enjoy it. I do love playing a game that's very new and different.
It sounds very cinematic, which would be interesting.
It is. I almost wish it was
easier so you could enjoy the cinema experience.
Yeah, see where the story goes, you know, see what actually happens, you know, like it's going to be a tale of revenge or whatnot. So it'd be nice to extract that revenge kind of thing, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So that would be fun. But I haven't looked and seen. I don't know if I put it on easy or normal or whatnot. I don't think I put it on hard.
So maybe
or
there's maybe, an easy mode.
Maybe there is. Maybe I should just go have a little look, see if I can kind of like just tamp that down a little bit kind of thing. So not everything has to be a huge tactical fight kind of thing.
I played not Dark Souls, but I played a game like that. And very, very quickly, it just started feeling like a chore and not fun at all.
Yeah.
And I wasn't enjoying the story, so I just went, why am I playing this? I'm wasting my time, and I just stopped.
Yep.
If you're going to make combat that hard, you have to make the story so engaging to force you to go through it.
I think there's certainly a segment of the population that just enjoys
beating hard. Really hard bosses.
Yeah, and yeah. I think this has probably got that. I never felt like the game was being cheap.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. There are, I mean, look, there's a few bosses that I'm like, well, you've just ramped that difficulty right up, you know, kind of thing. But they were all, like, I've managed to get past all of those. It was just regular enemies that got me.
Yeah.
There are a couple of really bad checkpoints, which were very frustrating.
Oh, okay.
Like checkpointing before, then you got to go through a bunch of cutscenery kind of stuff.
Always for the checkpoint after the cutscenes.
Yeah, yep. And so,
I wish game designers would learn to have a cutscene library that you can access from the main menu, so you can go back and review all the cutscenes you've unlocked.
Yeah.
And then always put autosaves at the end of cutscenes.
It's not always hard, not hard. You know, checkpointing system is pretty good throughout the game. There was only a couple of times where it really aggravated me that I had to fight so many groups of enemies before I got to the checkpoint.
Yeah.
Or this one instance where they introduced a new enemy. He was very hard to kill and had to constantly keep doing this little shuffle at the start. Not really a cutscene, but like some environmental stuff that you need to get through before you get to have that fight to practice it again. Yeah. And they started introducing like some more environmental like an obstacle you had to work around while you're fighting as well. So that was where they were also increasing the difficulty level as well. But yeah, Trek to Yomi. I'm pleasantly happy with my time I spent with that, for sure. And I do recommend. That's definitely a thumbs up if you like the genre. If you don't like that sort of fighting thing game,
don't do it.
No, definitely not going. There's nothing there for you to enjoy. I can't think. I've been trying to for a while now. I didn't even go to a Google search or anything, but I cannot think of another black and white game I've ever played.
Limbo. That's black and white.
Right. The difference, there's another one,
Nier Automata.
Maybe. Nier Automata's got color in it. I'm pretty sure they've got color in it. Yeah. Yeah. I think maybe the difference, Limbo is, yes, you're right. I've played some games like that and in very, very reduced color palettes and things like that.
Yeah.
That I feel was more like that was a key, like, Limbo, the darkness is a key aspect of the game, right? Yeah. You need the darkness because that's a mechanic in the game.
Yeah.
This is black and white purely as a stylistic choice. There's nothing about it that I would say
it needs to be black and white.
It needs to be black and white. Yeah. Everything can be done in color. It's like watching a black and white, like a modern. Who did a black and white film recently? Someone went back and did it, you know.
Okay.
I mean, like Clerks is black and white, is like a modern. Yeah. But he did that for cost reasons.
Yeah.
Because it was cheaper to buy a black and white film kind of thing. You know, Tarantino has a black and white section in Kill Bill. Because he had to get past the rating censors because there was too much blood in the scene, you know, kind of thing. Like that was that.
Yeah.
Like I can't think of anyone who's doing black and white as a choice for anything really kind of thing. Like it seems like such a
it's not as good. You can be far more having actually filmed in both black and white and color.
Yeah.
You can be far more artistic in black and white because the shadows can say so much.
Yeah, it's so very atmospheric.
Yeah, you get very an amazing amount of atmosphere in black and white that you can't get in color. But color just is so much more engaging. You want to do stuff in color.
Yeah, no, fair enough. You know, there's a lot more, you can convey and stuff like that in color. It's interesting. Yeah, yeah. And the camera work again. The camera work is so intriguing to see these cinematography style shots brought into games. And the way they manage to allow you to both have freedom to explore and with interesting shots and have a bit of exploration rather than just being a platformer that's just a linear 2D thing.
Keep going on rails, fighting all these enemies.
Yeah. And then also like seamlessly bringing you back into a 2D plane again for when you need to fight someone kind of thing. So you're always sort of like, you know, just moving between these two types and it's all very seamless. Very well done. Very good. I'll check out the developer and just see what else they've done as well. Yeah. You never know. It might be interesting. I think that brings us to the end of our foreshortened.
Yes, I have played nothing else.
Episode, no problems, no problems. So we did play one Baldur's Gate session.
Yeah, we did.
We did, but we didn't get a second one. We're not going to get another two because I'm going to be away this time instead. Yep. So Baldur's Gate's on a bit of a hiatus. So we're both really enjoying
looking. So we still haven't gone back to the dwarves that killed us.
No,
we had to power up to get ready to go back to the... We still haven't done that.
That's right. We did the hag.
Yeah, we went off on all sorts of different directions instead in our last play session.
Oh, my God.
In preparation for getting up high enough level.
Yeah, because we had to get high enough level because you weren't leveling up far enough to do the boat. Yeah, which we've done now.
Yeah.
So now, next time, it's back to that boat and I'm going to throw someone off that boat.
Yeah, throw some dwarves off the boat into the dark lake.
God, I pushed so many people off cliffs in that last playthrough. That was just the best. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. So, yes, a couple of emotes for more Baldur's Gate, but we'll be back to that as well. Okay, so until then, Tony, thank you very much.
Thank you, Luke.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the internet.